no's come with the business. You are going to be told no. Maybe not even directly told no, but you know, it might be politely told no, like, oh, maybe next time, or we'll think about it. We'll call you back. You know, if stuff like that breaks you, discourages you, takes away your motivation, kills your dream, was your dream even that strong to begin with? I mean, it's like playing the averages, you know. I know a lot of cats that date a lot, or used to rather. I mean, most of the cats I know nowadays, they're all married and happily married, you know, happily married within their situations and whatnot. But back in the day when we used to club hop and go meet people, they used to tell me, you know, it's the law of averages. You know, you talk to 10 women, at least one, maybe two, if you're lucky, is bound to say yes. You know, it's the law of averages, but you can't be discouraged, because everything that we do, everything that we see, everything that we like and what other people like, it's all subjective. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? So if you're in the club hopping for the fellas, you know, you're trying to meet women because, I mean, at the end of the day, the women hold all the cards, right? You know, I mean, men, you know, we chase all kind of women all the time, but it's up to the women to say yes or no. So women hold the cards. So it's up to the woman to say yes or no. So we play the law of averages. We see a woman that we find attractive. We try to talk to her, introduce ourselves. Hopefully she likes us. But if she says no, are you going to tuck tail and go home and your night be ruined? Possibly. You know, it could be that way if that's just that one woman you really, really, really wanted so badly that you can't help yourself and no other woman in that club that night measures up. So it's not even worth your time, then maybe you might go home then. But otherwise, you just keep playing the field, playing the law of averages until maybe another woman that you did find attractive says yes. Well, that law of averages applies to not just freelancing, but everything we do in life. Now, a lot of times, most of my stories, I relate to photography and freelancing, but this one, this particular story, I think is more relatable to acting, actors. And the reason why I say that is headshots. Yeah, of course, the photographer has to take your headshots, but let's get past the photography part and just talk about actors auditioning, bidding for a job, putting themselves out there, going to casting calls. How many times have actors, you as an actor, actress, actor, how many times have you been told no? And here's the thing. Every no is not directly a no towards you. And what I mean is, and this is why I related to acting, actors and actresses and whatnot, is because I think I've said this in a previous episode, but when we're freelancing, when we're bidding for a job, it's just like having your headshot in a stack of headshots. I've known people through my career. I mean, I don't really associate with them nowadays because my career has taken a different path. I don't do actors' headshots very often anymore. Most of my photography is product photography, advertising. But when I was doing headshots for actors, and at one point I was on a nice little run, I was doing headshots weekly, you know, and that's pretty good for me considering where I was, you know, it wasn't that many actors around me. So to have a weekly steady flow of actors coming in for headshots was pretty good business for me. But I digress. What I'm talking about is the headshots that these actors would submit to casting agencies. Take, for example, consider the stack of headshots that the casting agencies have to look through. And this is why I say every no is not a actual no directly towards you. Again, take the stack of headshots that a casting director has to look through. So just say they have, you know, like 200 headshots on their desk for the day. And they're going through headshots along with whatever else they have to do for the day. And their day is pretty exhausting, but they're going through these headshots. They're trying to get through all of them, but they can't. They can't get through all of them, so they stop at 100. And they found the actor or actress that they wanted to use within that stack of 100. But what if you were 101? So that's like a fail. You know, it's like, man, I missed this casting call. You know, that could have been me. That could have been me. I know I would have fit that role better. I know I have the better look for that particular character. I know I'm a better actor, actress for that particular role. But you were overlooked by one headshot. So that's maybe not a direct rejection. And it's not a direct no, but it is a no just the same. What, are you going to let that no completely discourage you from following your passion? If so, it's not your true passion. You have to get used to being told no, because you being told no might not be something that you did. And, you know, and that yes could be right around the corner. That yes could be right there. But if you give up, how will you ever receive that yes? You know, so just say you were headshot number 101 and the next casting gig doesn't come up for another year or two. But if that casting director still keeps their headshots in order, even if you submit an updated headshot, which you should do every, 6 months or something, 6 to 8 months, you submit an updated headshot, they find your name in a pile, they put you back on top of the pile because you're number 101. Next time a job comes up, next time a casting call comes up and that casting director has to look through their pile of headshots, boom, you're number 101. You're at the top of the list now, and you could be picked for that particular role. But again, if you let that no discourage you and you just give up, just like that, you're done. And freelancing is not for the weak. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I think at the root, freelancing just comes from our passion. Passion for what we love to do, what we're doing right now. We absolutely love it. That's why we're willing to risk just about everything to do it. You know, I don't know if these are the days like back in the days. I know I referenced Steve Harvey before in a couple of episodes ago, but he always talks about how he slept in his car because he gave up everything to make his dream work. I don't know if things work like that today, especially with the way technology is. You know, back in the days when he was telling his story, there was no Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, MySpace, none of that. No AOL. If it was AOL, it was in its early premature stages and nobody used it to network. Today, we can network and get ourselves out there without physically being out there. So it might be a little bit different, but he comes from an era where he slept in his car because his passion was so strong, he was willing to do anything to make it. The Pursuit of Happiness, the movie with Will Smith, the story of the man who was willing to do anything, gave up everything to sell that machine he was trying to make. I think it was a medical machine or something like that. But he was willing to give up everything to see his dream come true, to make that sale to the medical field, because he knew it would be his ultimate goal, his ultimate happiness, his ultimate dream. He would be rich and would be able to take care of his family forever. If you're not driven the same to the point where you're nearly willing to risk it all to live in your car just to see your dream come true, or just like in the movie, sleep in bathrooms or whatever to see your dream come true, you're not, this is not for you. This is a painfully competitive field. Think about the Earth's population, you know, and let's just say right now the Earth's population is 9 billion or something like that. Matter of fact, I know I should have prepared for this earlier. My apologies, but let me just look it up right now. Bear with me 1 second. Earth population. Well, let's see. Earth population, 7.79 billion, 7.8 billion. So, yeah, that is an insane amount of people, but we're going to divide that by two and we'll go 3.9 billion. So 7.8 billion people collectively on Earth divided by two. The reason why I'm divided by two, 3.9 billion would be 9-to-5ers that are content with working in 9-to-5s, and that's okay. And then the other 3.9 billion, that's us. So that just goes to show how competitive it is. And again, I mentioned the internet and networking and whatnot. So we don't have to, or we're not in direct competition with our next door neighbor. We're in competition with our next country neighbor, our next region, our next island, our next principality, anything you want to consider. Next, you know, I mean, that's how many people we have to deal with. I do freelancing online. A lot of my freelancing is done online. And a lot of my clients are often in Egypt, Australia, a lot of times New York. But they're often on different coasts, different countries, different time zones completely. So imagine how many people they had to sift through to find me, you know, and I land that gig. Every gig that I get is celebrated, celebrated, not celebrated to brag like, yeah, I got a job or a gig and you didn't, but I got a gig amongst millions of people competing for the same job. And that is encouraging rather than discouraging, because it's easy to get lost in the shuffle. You know, I mean, I've been told no tons of times, and I don't like rejection. I'll be honest about it. I don't like being told no at all. I mean, especially in a dating world. Oh man, trying to meet a woman and being told no, just egg on your face. Can't stand that. Yep, I hit the wrong button. There you go. I meant to throw some laughter in my face, or laughter in there, because I got egg on my face, because sometimes you try to meet somebody, date someone, you end up getting rejected. Doesn't feel good, but when it comes to my freelancing, being told no in the freelancing world doesn't hurt as much anymore, because I've learned to deal with it. The dating world, that's a whole different ball game. You know, sometimes you find that woman that you're really into, or, you know, for someone else, you might find that man that you're really into. And if you get told no, it's like, man, let me just go sit in a corner somewhere and reevaluate my life. But in the freelancing world, I've developed a thick skin. I mean, don't get me wrong. Being told no, or losing a gig, losing out on a gig that I bid on, still sucks, still feels bad. And it's like, man, especially when you think, you feel, or even if you know, like you really, really know that you're better than the person that you're up against. And that's not arrogance, you know, that's just reality. You know, you see whatever, you see their portfolio online or something, you see what they do, you see what they create, and then you compare side by side with what you create, and you know you're better. Yeah, your prices might be different, and that could be the deciding factor of why you didn't get the gig, but you never short sell yourself, you know, never undercut yourself. But that could be the deciding factor why you didn't get the gig. And it's like, oh man, I lost the job to this. Like, come on, man. That can be very, very discouraging. So if you don't have a thick skin, it'll push you right out the game, and you'll never get to experience what that yes feels like. Especially when you go up against somebody that's just as good as you, and you're bidding around the same price point, and they pick you out of all the other people that you're bidding against. Oh man, that is a wonderful, wonderful feeling. But if you can't get past the no's and fight your way through and stay strong and stay true to what you believe in and know that you're actually good at what you do and that you have something good to offer to people, you'll never, ever, ever get there to experience the pleasures of the yeses. Take, for example, football. Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks. Matter of fact, stats wise, or I mean, love him or hate him, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but you know, you got to give respect due where respect is due. And the respect, you know, let me give that man a round of applause, because he deserves it. The dude is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal quarterback. I've seen him run some quarterback drills that it's like, man, you got to be kidding me. You got to be flipping kidding me that this dude is that good at doing what he does. You know, maybe the other defenses didn't do their job right, but regardless, the man put the ball on point where it was supposed to be. However, he is the greatest quarterback of our time, of all time, matter of fact, stats wise, right? But when it came to the draft, he was drafted like late in the draft. Matter of fact, again, please apologize for my lack of preparedness, but let's see. When was Tom Brady drafted? And according to Google, he was drafted in March of 1994. Let's see. What position? When did he get picked? Oh, was he the last picked in the draft? Let's find out. Let's see. Tom Brady was picked. He was the 199th pick in the sixth round by the New England Patriots. The 199th pick. That's according to Wikipedia. If it's true or not, I don't know, but that's the source that I'm citing. But he was the 199th pick, and he turned out to be the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, come on. Talk about not being broken. Talk about staying true to your passion. Talk about having the confidence to know how great you are, how great you're going to be, without doing it with just full-blown arrogance, but just knowing how good you are. Now, I know there's some controversy for all the football fans out there that they say Tom Brady cheated with this, that, and the other. They may have cheated with knowing some plays, or they may have cheated with the way the football was inflated or not, but that doesn't take away from the man's actual talent. Because when you got past the cheating of the spy gates and or whatever they called it, you know, where they were lip reading and stealing people's plays or knowing the plays that they were going to call, or with him deflating the deflate gate when they were deflating the footballs. Take that away and get to the last couple of seasons that we had where none of that was even considered and everything was equal across the board for both teams. He still dominated. And again, I'm not necessarily a Tom Brady fan, but that's just how good the man is. But if he was to let the being 199th draft discourage him, and you know what? I mean, nobody likes to be picked last or second to last or in the hundreds. You know, I'm a pretty strong-willed person and a lot of stuff does not break me. But that right there, that's a tough pill to swallow. To know you're a good quarterback, to know you're good at, you know, replace quarterback with whatever you do. To know you're that good and you're going against all these other great people and you're picked second to last. Oh man, that is harsh. But he stood true and he said, you know what? This is what I do. And I know I do this well, and I'm going to show you guys. And when this opportunity came up, here we are, 2021, greatest quarterback of all time. Greatest quarterback of all time. Take Kanye West, for example, whether you love him or hate him, you know, in his music career, I'm sure I've heard him say something about him being turned down by certain record labels. People just didn't want to deal with him. Maybe it was because of his arrogance, because of his attitude, or they just didn't like his music. You know, my personal feelings aside for how I, you know, whatever I think about Kanye West, musically, I think the man's a genius. I think he's made some of the dopest tracks I've ever heard in my life. You know, some of his tracks I use as my theme song that just gets me motivated on a daily. You know, this dude is just super dope when it comes to his musical talents. But he was told no many a time before, rejected many a time before, and he even moved into the clothing design. And, you know, I'll keep my personal feelings aside from that as well. You know, but he, last I heard, and I'm not going to look it up on Google this time, but last I heard, he, crossed the $1 billion threshold, you know? And this is somebody who was told no, like their music isn't good enough or their clothing designs aren't good enough. And he crossed the $1 billion threshold selling his clothing. So for clothing designers out there who people tell you your clothes are weird or your clothes are too different, or nobody likes your clothes, and yeah, it's not for me, it's not for my store. That's not the only store. That's not the only opinion that matters. And again, remember, it's subjective. It's completely subjective. What one person likes, another person hates. Look, I got a couple of shirts in my closet I can't fit anymore, but I got a couple of shirts in my closet that my brother, every time I wore those shirts back in the day, my brother would light me up, man. He would, my brother stayed lighting me up because he didn't like the shirts. But I mean, not even a little bit did it break me. Not even a little bit. I mean, part of the reason, because I'm stubborn. Stubborn as a mule. It just is what it is. If I feel right about something, it is what it's going to be, right? But aside from my own stubbornness, my confidence in that shirt, those shirts, the clothing that I wore, you couldn't tell me nothing. You couldn't tell me nothing. So, you know, when I miss out on a gig, when I, you know, take it all back and relate it to what we do in our careers as freelancers. When I relate this to when I lost a gig or something, or when I'm bidding for a gig, I've lost, oh man. Oh, just thinking about it. I've lost gigs to people. And I mean, and I was able to see who I was going directly up against. And, you know, I don't know if it was my sales pitch, if it was my approach or not. And I definitely know my prices weren't too high, because my prices are never too high compared to industry standard. That is, my prices are never too high. So I started looking at this person's work and compared it to mine. And this is not me being biased, just liking my work because it's my work. I'm just being true to it. If I do something and my work is not up to par, it's just not up to par. And I just accept the loss. Like, okay, you need to step your game up, because you're going to continue to lose gigs if you keep producing work like this. But when I did a direct comparison to see the work that I lost to, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. But again, it's all subjective. There's a photo. And if you go to Google and type in, let's just say, most expensive photo. Type in most expensive photo and you'll see some of the photos that come up here. There's one photo of, I think I mentioned this before. There's a photo of a grass field before you get to water. And that's it. I'm dead serious. And that's it. And the story that I read behind it, the photographer was playing with a new camera. He was riding passenger in his friend's car. He saw the field and saw the water and said, oh, that looks like a cool picture. Put his camera out the window, took a picture. And that picture sold for, like, I want to say $4.3 million or $3.9 million. And it is the absolute most simplest photo you could ever take. I don't care if you took it with a professional camera, amateur camera, whatever. I mean, Kodak camera that you used to have to take to 1 hour photo to get developed. I don't care what you use to take the picture. It is the absolute simplest picture you could ever take in life. And it sold for anywhere from $3.9 to $4.3 million. And I say that again to say that it's all subjective. So you being told no by one company, you know, matter of fact, I'm not going to say the company's name, but I swear, you know, there are other circumstances where you're going to be told no, unfortunately, you know, and I was told no on a job strictly because of race. I know it, and it absolutely sucks. Absolutely sucks. But it was definitely because of race. And the reason why I know that is because number one, how the lady was speaking to me, it was just very disrespectful, very rude. You know, but I tolerated it because a friend of mine was trying to get me the gig, and the gig paid very well. So I was like, okay, I'll deal with it for now. Anyway, I did the work, and for whatever reason under the sun, she found everything wrong with the work that I did. Said it wasn't good enough, didn't look right, this, that, the other. So of course, what I did was, after that gig didn't work out, I kept that website in mind, and I kept going back to see who they would hire instead of me to do the work, so I could see what I did wrong, so, and see what they did right, so I could either step my game up or, you know, do whatever I had to do to fix what I did wrong so I wouldn't be told no again. Eventually, I finally got to that website. It was about 3 weeks to a month later, and I saw the work that they chose as opposed to the work that I submitted. And this is not arrogance. This is not me feeling myself. This is just honest reaction. The work that they chose aside over me was pure trash. All caps, T-R-A-S-H, with a few exclamation points behind it. It was absolute trash. And I'm like, man, you've got to be kidding me. But then I started thinking back about the way she was talking to me, how rude she was, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm feeling this. And then, you know, my friend that was working there was black. I'm black. She was white. And then the person that they hired and to replace me was white. I'm like, you know, and that's just more than coincidence, because my friend that was trying to get me to hook up there, she doesn't work there anymore because she experienced the same type of racial tension too. So this is not me just being bitter because I lost the gig. This is me losing the gig regardless of talent, just because of the fact that I was black. So it's not always subjective, and, you know, and you're going to deal with some BS in your life, you know. But you got to get past that, because number one, I got paid for the work that I did, regardless if they decided to use it or not. So that was a win for me. So let me find that applause button. And then when I saw the work that they chose instead of me, I had to throw some laughter in there, because I'm like, your racism is so strong and so stupid that you're willing to accept subpar work just because it's coming from somebody of your race and not from a different race. And I thought that was just absolutely pathetic. I think this is the booze. Yeah, I think that's right. I hope it is. But anyway, yeah, that was trash. But again, even as bad as that was, it still didn't break me. Especially because when I saw the work and saw the quality of the work, I'm like, oh man, you chose that over me. And I know I did my work right. Okay, whatever, you know, go ahead and run with it. Do what you feel. But again, I digress. Aside from all that runaround that I was doing, that roundabout story, again, you can't let the nose break you, because you will never get to experience the joys of being told yes. As many times as I've been told no, and as many times as it sucks, especially when you really need it, especially when you're in that position where you really need it and you're like, man, come on, I need this job. But again, you never undercut yourself. Never, ever. I repeat, please listen to me. Never undercut yourself just to get a gig, because once you start going down that road and start setting that trend, you're going to start doing it for every gig that comes around, and you're going to find yourself working two times, maybe three times as hard for the work that you could have gotten paid for if you would have stuck to your guns and just accepted that no. Again, going back to my other previous episodes, when I highly encourage you, save, because you're going to need those savings for those hard times when you're being told no and you're not making any money. But you got to stick to your guns. You got to stick to your principles to a degree. Everything we do is arbitrary. Our prices are arbitrary. Our prices are negotiable, but they're negotiable within reason. What I'm saying is, you don't want to charge $500 for a gig and then they say they can't afford it. All I can afford is $150. And you're like, okay, I'll take it. Now, every time that person comes back to you, oh, well, I had 150, but now I only got 75. Can you do it for 75? Now you're doing the same job that you normally would get 500 for. You accepted 150 for, and now they know that you're willing to accept anything. Now you're getting paid 75 for. So when you do the math based on how many hours you've been working versus how much work that you have to produce, you do the math and divide that 75 bucks times whatever, you mess around and look in and you realize you've been working for $3 an hour. Come on, man. You got to stick to your guns. You got to stick to your guns. Being told no sucks. But if you got your ducks in order, you got your savings, you know your work is up to par, you know your work is good, eventually that yes is going to come around, and that yes is going to make, for the most part, is going to make you forget about every single no that you were told beforehand. Just like back in the day when me and my boys were club hopping, trying to date girls, trying to get numbers, trying to, you know, find a girlfriend or whatever, being told no, 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 no. And then we finally get told yes by that other girl that we thought was cute too. She finally says yes, and she's our girlfriend. That first girl that we thought we liked that we got told no by, completely forgotten about. It's over and done with. So you have to stick to it so you can get to that promised land, right? You got to stick to it so you can get to that yes area. Because those no's are going to come. It just happens. I mean, even in the 9-to-5 world, for some of us who had 9-to-5s before we switched over to our freelancing gigs, how many times you applied for a 9-to-5 and got told no, but you still applied for another one, right? So what's the difference here? It's all relative. You know, chasing a 9-to-5, chasing these gigs, independent contractor, freelancers, it's all relative. You know, this is just what we do. And it just comes with the territory. And if you're new to this, hopefully you're paying attention to what I'm telling you, because I want you to know what this feels like, or know that this is going to come, rather. I want you to know that this is going to come so you can be prepared for it, so you won't get blindsided by it. Because when I first jumped into the freelancing world, you know, of course, I'm like, man, please, I got a Nikon camera. No, I know other people shoot with Nikon, but nobody shoots with Nikon like I shoot with Nikon. I'm completely feeling myself, putting out some work, and some of the work was decent, some of the work was not. But, you know, I was feeling myself like, yeah, I got this Nikon camera. It's professional, so that makes me a professional, blah, 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 so on and so forth. Put my work out there to try to get paid for it, and people were like, nope, nope. And I'm sitting there like, what do you mean, no? Like, oh, my God, hold my chest, hold my heart, like, what? No. Like, no, I don't understand. What do you mean? But, you know, as time has gone by, and I realize, again, it's just subjective. But with it being subjective, all those no's, one of them's going to turn into a yes. You know, matter of fact, let me close this episode with a tip. Let me close it with a tip. Here is the tip. If you let the no's break you, stop you, how will you ever know how far that yes can take you? You got to power through the no's because the yeses are coming. You know, that you just say on average 10 gigs out there. You apply for 10 gigs. 9 gigs say no, but that 10th one says yes. You forgot about the 9 that said no because that 10 was so epic. It took you to whatever your life dream is. Whatever your life goal is. What is that saying? I got knocked down 6 times, but I got up 7. Or, you know, I got knocked down 7 times and I got up 8. You know, you always want to get up more times than you got knocked down. Because if you stay down, you lay down, it's done, right? So you always want to keep getting up. You want to keep fighting, keep pushing, because eventually that yes is going to come. There, I mean, I don't care. Regardless of what your taste is in music, in clothing, in acting, in photography, in singing, whatever, right? There's still somebody who likes it. Regardless if the world says no, somebody in this world, there's 7.9 billion people here or something like that. 7.9 billion, 7.79 billion, whatever the number was I looked up earlier is 7 point something billion people here. You mean to tell me out of all these people here, you know, and even if you divide it in half again for the people in the freelance world, 3.9 billion or just say 1 billion. You think out of 1 billion people looking at your work, all of those 1 billion are not going to like it? It's not possible. That's not possible. But if you don't put your work out there for that 1 billion to see, you'll never know if somebody in that 1 billion actually liked your work or not. So you got to stay true. You got to stay true to you, true to your dream. If this is really your dream, if this is really your passion, you'll find a way to fight through it. And you'll keep pushing. When they tell you no, you'll be like, man, bump that. I know my work is good. I'm going to keep on going. And if you get told no on the same piece of art that you're trying to produce or trying to sell, maybe go back to the lab, to the drawing board, roll out your blueprints, look at it again and say, okay, let me tweak this just a little. Let me tweak this just a little, but I want to still be me. I want it to still be my style. Tweak it just a little bit. Change this up just a little bit to make it me. Then I'm going to put it back out there and somebody's going to like the revamp that I did. And they're going to pay me well for that revamp that I did. And that's going to change my life. That's going to change my life, change my whole story. And all those no's you're told, you could tell somebody else. Yeah, I was told no for this job and that one. Now, that same people that told me no, that same group, that same company, they're looking to hire me. They don't even realize it was me they told no years ago because I was so unestablished. But now that I am established, now you don't have to take that low rate of pay that you were willing to accept back then. Now you can charge top dollar for what you are worth because that yes has taken you as far as you wanted to go, as far as you knew it could take you and beyond. So with that being said, this is Ahmed. I'm Creative Roberson. Yes, I've been told no more times than I've been told yes. But those yeses outweigh the no's by far. And I know they'll feel the same for you. And they make me smile. Every time I think about it, it makes me smile. I know it'll make you smile too. Anyway, I thank you guys for listening. I hope this struck a nerve with you. In case you were feeling discouraged and feeling down about being told no about something you were doing, something that you were creating, hopefully this lit a fire up under your butt. You get back out there and do it. Just do it. Remember Shia LaBeouf had that Nike commercial, I think it was? Just do it. Just do it. There's so many people willing to quit. If you're that one that doesn't quit, guess who got the gig? You did. because you did not quit. I don't quit. There is no quit in me. If I quit, it's because of retirement, because I've reached my goal, but not because of failure. There is no failure, just a lesson. And I hope you guys got this lesson. Hope you take it with you. Next time you get told no, be like, all right, next person up, they're going to say yes. If they don't, next person's going to say yes. Just like Kobe Bryant when he said he used to shoot. The next one's going in. Oh, I missed this one. Okay, the next one's going in. Dang, I missed again. The next one's going in. Never, I'm not going to shoot anymore because it's not going in. Nah, the next shot's going in. I missed again. Okay, next shot's going in, right? See you guys next Tuesday.